Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe, and today we're going to talk about our journey. And in this episode, we're going to share something from our personal lives. Peter, let me throw it over to you.
Thank you, Rick. Great to be back with you and Frank, by the way, here at the Road Ahead Cafe, where we serve you, our audience, with a helping of powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. A special shout out to those of you I call helpers, my peer coaches, all you folk who are out there every day doing your best to be supportive of others with troubles, even while dealing with your own problems. I salute you. I'm here to help you. And in today's segment of our journey, I'm serving up a personal story that I hope will nourish your spirit. No matter what challenge you face, at a deeper level, you always know your best path forward to the flow you seek, to the answers you need. What do I mean? What happened to me? I can't tell you right now. This is the teaser. You have to stay tuned. Back to you, Rick.
All right. Good stuff, Peter. Frank, what do you got today?
Well, I'm just starting to tell the story, and it's a hack, actually. In 2018, I was going to Nepal with a very good and very dear friend of mine. We were going to visit his son, who was working in a voluntary unit there and doing some great work with handicapped children, which is not that easy in Nepal and India, as you maybe know. So we went, we made the preparations, and well, the day closed in that we should go to Nepal, and I get nervous and more nervous and more nervous, and I didn't feel that quite well. I had a terrible pain in my stomach, and I called a friend of mine, and who was a psychic. I said, "Hey, you have to help me out here, because there's something going wrong." And I even was on the brink of canceling the whole journey, because, well, I really felt very, very bad. So he came over to my place, and we sit together, and we started meditating, and he did a guided meditation. And one moment, he connected me to my stomach, to my solar plexus. And as you maybe know, it's the flight or fight center, what you could say, in related to chakras. And it started to burn. It was really hurtful. And he said, "Okay, go in, feel. And that moment, I connected to, I may say, the source or whatever, or my higher self. And the voice came in and he said, "Okay, Frank, what's going on right now is that you're feeling really anxious, because you're going to Nepal to clean up something very old, very old pain. Painful things in your body, which is a kind of remembrance. Okay. Don't worry, we'll be with you." So, okay, yeah, we will be with you. So afterwards, okay, we went out of meditation, etc. And I felt actually much better. The day afterwards, I slept better and so on. Something happened. I couldn't explain it, but something happened. Okay. So we went to Nepal. Went to Kathmandu, had a wonderful time there, and then went to Bhaktapur. Bhaktapur is the former capital of Nepal, and was really very nice there. Very old city, very, very old center there, and I was standing there on a square and looking at a beautiful old temple, and I stood on a certain spot. I don't remember where exactly, and at a certain moment, I was taken in split second to something which you could say past life or parallel life, I don't know. I was there somewhere in the time of the Mongols, and I was in the square, and I was hanging up, on my head, my hands crossed like that, you know, with the head down, and I was taken in custody. I was sentenced to death. The reason why, I used my healing powers, which were I was not allowed to use, because I wasn't a registered shaman, something like that. I helped people to heal themselves. Wow. I was caught, maybe it was kind of treason. I don't know. I was caught, I was sentenced, and I was put to the stake as an example. So what they did there in a moment, I was hanging upside down, my hands crossed, and the executioner came with a great axe and cut off my two hands and left me there. I died by bleeding to death. So I remember I didn't feel the pain, but I saw the whole thing happening in a split second. At that moment, I remembered, and that was all in the split second, I remembered why in this life I was so reluctant to use my healing powers. Wow. Because I knew I could pay with that, with my life. So that was a very deep personal experience at that moment. It didn't take so much time because I was out of the scenery. I was standing there in the square. I was there. I was not completely there in real life, but I was there. And my friend came, hey, how are you? I was looking for you. Where were you? So I was standing here. Well, I looked at the square, but I didn't see you. All right. I'm standing here. So I didn't tell him about my experience, but I said, well, I desperately need a cup of coffee. Oh, that's great. So I sat there, drank my coffee, and I had to digest my whole experience. Yeah. This is a page turner, to put it that way, for me in my life. And it changed my life tremendously. That's why one of the reasons I'm with you guys, this was a real life hack. That's the story.
Wow, Frank.
Heck of a teaser.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I need some air. That was heavy. Wow.
So I didn't share it before, but I think it is worthwhile to share the story because I know there are much more people who are having stories like this. And it's time to spread the good news. And it's time to share our healing powers because people and the world needs it in a loving, caring way.
Beautiful story. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
So what I'm going to share today is I have two specific shares. I want to talk first about integrity. It's our signature when nobody's looking. How do we act when no one is watching? So that's one thing I want to talk about. And then the other thing is I want to talk about connection and bringing people together is so important and why showing up every day is important to that connection. So that I'm going to just give a teaser. Then I'm going to turn it back over to Peter. So I'm going to talk about integrity and connection. Peter, back to you.
Okay, thanks. Well, I've had quite a week. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it, but I will, because otherwise, what's the point of being here? That is the point of being here, our journey. Well, I'll tell you, our bed was shaking madly, like one of those cheap Vegas motel coin-operated vibrating jobs. My wife poked me and asked me, are you okay? We both knew I wasn't. I was shivering like a homeless dog left out in the depths of a winter freeze, and I knew what was coming next. Sheet-drenching, full-body sweats because I was sick. Now, I'm not about to tell you I was in near death and I had a life-changing recovery. I'm not as going to say that. It was an ordinary, plain old garden variety, good and sick. And you know what I mean by that. You've probably even been there. Nothing exotic. But man, it could take you down for the count. And I guess you can't expect to reach my age without, having gone a few rounds with something like this. What was it? The flu, a bug, whatever it's called. So I'm not complaining. But there was a difference this time. A new feature I'd never experienced before. The bug, which had pinned me down on a bed in a Poconos timeshare unit where we were, must have scrambled some of my brain's circuits. Perhaps it was the work of the fever. I don't know. But my brain kept generating the most tormenting thoughts, and it was spitting them out like a machine gun, and I couldn't find an off switch anywhere. Now, normally, I would just focus on a subject that was relaxing, like being comfortably settled in front of a crackling fire while raindrops patter on the windows. But no matter how often I tried that, my brain just snapped back like an elastic band to the next in an unending series of anxiety-producing thoughts. I was like a boxer backed into a corner on the ropes, and the hits just kept coming, so I decided to try another tactic. Sometimes when I'm in bed going to sleep and I get sidelined by a persistent thought about something, just changing my physical position helps me change the persistent line of thinking. So I tried switching from lying on my back to lying on my side, and there was a momentary cessation of those punishing thoughts, but then rat-a-tat-tat-a-tat, they were right back, shooting at me, no matter where I looked. And as fast as my brain swatted one away, another one took its place. Now, for those of you who don't know this, in mindfulness, when your brain bothers you with a worry, you don't resist it. Instead, you just let it be. But my brain was beyond that. It was terrified of those thoughts. How was I going to tell it to just let those thoughts be when my brain was like a horrified child cornered by a slathering, yellow-eyed, mucus-drooling, fanged monster? My brain seemed incapable of taking any conscious, willful action beyond flailing its arms about. Now, some folk call their brain monkey mind or the inner critic. But I choose to call my brain, to think of my brain as my inner champion. I even give him a name, Milo. I believe in honoring and supporting my inner champion, Milo. And indeed, this is an integral part of the process of mindful pathfinding. Now, this may come as a shock to you. So I don't practice mindfulness. I coach my brain, Milo, to practice mindfulness for me. I coach him to mindfully notice when he feels threatened, to step back, to take a breath, to observe what comes up when he asks my deeper self that I call Pathfinder, you know, that part of us which is better informed for guidance. And the reason I coach my brain to use mindfulness pathfinding is that the thing that's interrupting that flow of inner guidance is the network of limiting beliefs that are in my brain. So it's my brain who needs to learn the value of mindfully turning to Pathfinder's inner guidance whenever it perceives a threat. But I knew that in this moment, in my sickness, Milo was beyond the ability to help himself. You know how that is. Sometimes someone's all freaked out and you want to teach them and help them, but now's not the time to show them how to help themselves. Now you have to take controls. You have to guide them through this darkness, take them through it. And then later on, they can learn to do it for themselves. So I just bypassed Milo and asked my Pathfinder myself, where's Milo's flow here? And when I use the term flow, I'm using it in a very ordinary, non-psychological way. I mean, on the one hand, it's the inner guidance that was usually flows to me, but where is that inner guidance right now? And on the other hand, it means, hey, my life was going along. Things were flowing. Where did that flow go? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Jeannie and I were enjoying our vacations together in the Pocono, and then boom, this illness crops up to like a series of rocks in a river, turning the nice floating thing into a whitewater death match. So I just wanted that flow back. So I was asking Pathfinder, where's Milo's flow here? Now, since Milo was basically useless, instead of trying to do some fancy self-observation or open monitoring of my thoughts, I just gave up. Very powerful technique, giving up. And after a minute or two, up came the impulse, turn on the TV. And that was followed by the impulse, let's just watch sitcoms tonight. And right away, Milo had a problem, because he always has a problem. He's complaining, I don't have the strength. This keeps searching through the channels to find sitcoms. Up popped another impulse, choose this channel. I did. And it was an ongoing marathon of the sitcom Schitt's Creek. And that was the beginning and the ending of my channel surfing. I didn't have to do any more work, effortless. By 10:14, I noticed I was sleepy, which was welcome news. And as soon as I turned off the television, and this is the point, I noticed that the inner imagery had changed now. It was now light and whimsical and mostly related to characters on Schitt's Creek. So that was successful. Next morning, Saturday, when I woke, I feel improved enough that I was convinced I could make the 3-hour drive home. And I had to. We were scheduled to leave Sunday, but that's when Hurricane Henri was expected to make landfall. And there's no way I was healthy enough to handling that challenge while driving. Turned out it was a good choice by my pathfinder. The weather was excellent for traveling. We were home in good time. And by the time Henri did visit us, we were comfortably settled in front of our fireplace with the sound of the rain pattering on our window panes. No matter what challenge you face, at a deeper level, you always know your best path forward to the flow you seek and the answers you need. Back to you, Rick.
Wow, beautiful. I'm glad you're feeling better. And that was quite a journey. Now, was the bed shaking because you were so ill?
Yeah, the shivering.
Got it. Okay, good stuff. Frank, back to you.
Yeah, what to say? Back to my story about Nepal, and I think there are some links with what Peter just said. It has to do with facing your fears also. It has to do with facing what's happening, because I called my friend because I couldn't get grip of what happened in my physical awareness. Something like what happened to Peter with his thoughts. He couldn't stop the thoughts coming up and etc. The same comes with me. Actually, you were somehow out of control. Mm-hmm. What my friend actually did was he was kind of catalyzing the thing. He was grounding me to get rid of it. And the way he didn't turn on the television, but he turned on creative visualization, something like that. And he used actually something that like that. So he used help me to go through my body and facing what happened. I felt the burn, and then, because of that, somehow I had to let it go. I had to let it go, to follow what happened in my body. I had to let it go. And it was not an intent, because I had to let it go. You grab on it, and what you resist persists. It's a very old rule, what you resist persists. So I had to let it go, then to flow. The moment I could accept it, and that's a difficult word, but just release it. Just say, okay. The moment my mind gave up, the release unfolded. So that you can, my own pathfinder, mindful pathfinder, as Peter says, something like that happened to me also. So the valuable lesson in here for me was, don't resist it, because I started to resist it, because what I told you guys is, I just wanted to quit the holiday. I mean, so I don't want to go anymore. I just skip it. Yes, that was the emotion. The moment I accepted what was happening and my friend, with my friend's help, that moment I could let go. And the moment I could let go, the voice came. And peace came.
Yeah.
And I felt a kind of easiness. So, what's the learning? This was my learning. I can tell you what I learned is, what you resist persists. Mm-hmm. And it can be very subtle. So be a good observer of what happens to you, because the resistance might be very subtle. Sometimes it's right into your face, because, at that time, it was right into my face.
Good stuff. Yeah. Wow. Good message. Thank you, Frank. So I thought of two particular instances that happened recently that I thought I could share to bring some value. And the first one is about integrity. So many of you may know, I work with a company out of Germany called Beamer. And so we're all independent distributors. We can work globally and market this product anywhere we want. So I got a customer lead, and I called up this gentleman, and he told me that he had actually seen the product from one of our other distributors, but he couldn't remember where and when, and, you know, but he did want to honor, her education of him and his family. And he wanted to purchase the unit from her, but because he was unable to find her and he didn't have her information and what have you, he said, but, you know, because I'm with you now, you seem like a good guy. I want to really, you know, thank you. So if you can't find her in the next week, I'll purchase the unit from you. So, of course, my brain said, all right, I have two options. I have the option of I can't find her, right? And how much effort am I going to put in? And then maybe I can search around and do some fact-finding and call up some people and try to do my best to honor his memory. So I made one quick phone call, had a few details. Within 24 hours, I was on the phone with her, and she was so excited because she had misplaced this gentleman's information herself and couldn't get in contact with him. And about 3 months had gone by. It wasn't a different state, so he was in a different state. Then he came back here, and long story short, I connect with her. I connect the two of them. They're both overjoyed, and he ends up purchasing the Beamer from this other young lady, and, you know, end of the story. So I thought. So this past week, I open up a card in my mail from this young lady with a beautiful note about the integrity and honesty of our Beamer family and how this act exemplifies why she loves this company and the people in it. And we do really have an incredible group. And then there was also a gift in there for me as a way of saying thank you. So I tell you this story because we all have these choices every day. And it's how we act when nobody's watching that makes the difference, because I could have just said a week gone by and sold him the unit and no one would have known the difference. But there was a part of me that thought that everybody would know the difference, because what nobody is seeing in my world, everybody is seeing. So the way I live my life and the way I choose, and I will say at this point in my life, because I wasn't always like this, I didn't always make these kind of decisions, but as I make these decisions now for what is apparently nobody watching, really is everybody watching. So your life is your message. So if you're listening to this today, hopefully you will be able to make a decision like that a little bit more easily, because the rewards are plentiful of making high integrity decisions. That's one story. The second story is about connection and why bringing people together is so important, and how showing up when we don't want to sometimes can really make the difference in someone else's life. And that someone could be us one day. So I'm in a networking group, which has a lot of different gatherings, not only in virtual, but now we're starting to meet more often in person. And so most recently, a couple of visits resulted in a smaller crowd than usual. And so the tendency would be that if we knew we were not going to see as many people, or maybe not have any opportunities to do business, right? Because that's how we are motivated sometimes. That we will skip an event like this. So naturally, in an organization where numbers of people make a big difference, not only in terms of the festivity of an event, but the opportunities available to others, not only to meet, but to foster this growth and the potential business. So I made the decision to drive a very long way in two cases to meet with people, and what I was greeted with was such appreciation that it was profound. It wasn't just thank you for coming to our event. It was really life-changing for the people to see what commitment looks like, what connection looks like, what really thinking about others first meant to these people. And I can tell you, in one of the cases, I had my one of my sons with me, and he saw that. So he got a chance to see what it looks like when you make a difference in the life of somebody else. And so what I will leave you with is show up, follow up, have conversations, ask people questions. It can be hard at first, but it makes others open up. And that's when magic happens. Yeah. So have integrity, make and foster connections, and watch what happens.
Beautiful.
Peter, you want to wrap us up today?
All right. I just wanted to share with you that not only did the mindful pathfinding I did restore the flow, stopping the tormenting thoughts, helping me recuperate enough to get Jeannie and I safely home in time for Hurricane Henri, but it also gave me a gift that began as a riddle. Remember how I said I had those unending procession of anxieties in my mind, one after the other during my sickness? Well, normally when I feel an anxiety in my brain, my inner champion gets nervous about something, I just coach him to do a pathfinding, and pathfinding always relieves that feeling and restores the flow. So the riddle is, where did all this huge bulk of repressed or unprocessed anxieties come from? And how did they slip past my conscious notice? I don't know. But what I felt I needed was a mindful practice that I could do daily to release any and all unnoticed anxieties that slipped past me but were being repressed by Milo. And the gift I mentioned was discovering how I might do this, because upon consulting Pathfinder, I came up with the memory of a long forgotten technique I developed almost 40 years ago. I call it dream release meditation. And I think with a little tweaking, it's going to be perfect for this. So my last words today for you, my peer coaches, my helpers, are no matter what challenge you face, at a deeper level, you always know your best path forward to the flow you seek and the answers you need. Rick.
Wow, beautiful. I'm sure we're going to hear more about the dream release meditation in future episodes. Thank you, Peter. Frank, you want to close us out today?
Well, if you go to my website, frankwise.nl, you'll see there is a page called The Gentle Way. And The Gentle Way is actually a way to connect to yourself, to your inner feelings, and do it in a gentle way. There's much more to read about, and you can go over there. But the essence, what I want to talk about now, is what you resist will always persist. So remember that you cannot think your way out of it somehow. You have to face the things you have to face in life. And I hope that these stories today will motivate you to do what Rick says. Your life is your message. Thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Peter. And thank each of you for joining us today at the Road Ahead Cafe. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.